of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love His holy name. Yes, all I want to do, I'll say it to Him. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart, oh, we're going to praise Him. Well, all I want to do is love Him, love His holy. Love Him. Oh, Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day, well, I know I'll never be the same. All because He first loved us. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Play some more of that, guys. One more time. Well, all I want to do is love Him. So glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary.
Every day my heart will praise Him.
Yes, it will.
I know I'll never be.
Thank you, Father. Yes, all I want to do is love Him. Love His holy name. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. We've got just a very few requests, so if you don't mind to just stand with me tonight. Brother Zach and Sister Susanna Holmquist ask us to pray for their baby son, Asher. His jaundice level is about 16. The doctors become more concerned when it reaches around 17 or higher. We're taking him to get tested again tomorrow. We are praying that his level comes down, so we just pray for that child, that the Lord would be mindful of that family tonight. I want to pray for Sister Lisa Willis. mother, her family. The family has been called in. She's not given long to live. So let's pray for Sister Lisa and that family, that the Lord would just be with them during this time. Brother Baker has a virus. Ask the church for their prayer. So let's remember Brother Richard Baker as we pray tonight. Sister Lisa Cut sends this in to please pray for my 87-year-old grandmother who is in the hospital, not doing well. Her name is Sister Mamie Meredith. Update, as of 5 p.m. today, the family has been called in as they expect Sister Meredith could go at any time. So we want to pray for that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation on their behalf. I want to pray for Sister Boone. She fell out of bed and is in very bad shape. She's in the hospital, been taken to the hospital. So let's pray for our Sister Boone, that the Lord would just help our sister. She's just a precious person, really. Brother Paul and Sister Simone Phillips is just wanting to thank all of you for praying for our grandbaby. The results for the echo test came back perfect, and we're praising the Lord. So they thank God for that good report. God's just good to us, isn't he? Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We're serving a wonderful, risen Lord Jesus Christ that's very much alive, and he's more concerned about you than you could ever imagine. Brother Brett, come tonight. Let's pray over these needs. We just commit these things unto the Lord. Let's invite his presence into this service tonight. God bless you, Brother Brett. Appreciate you, buddy.
Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we count it a great privilege and an honor, Lord, to be able to be gathered here again. We just thank you for this time that you put across to us, Lord, that you just call us to be able to be gathered here in one mind, Lord, one spirit. You just be able to break the word of the, be able to break the bread of the word, Lord. We just thank you, Father. Thank you for this great feast that you've been giving us, Lord, service after service, Lord. We just know it's getting closer. We just look at it with great anticipation, Lord. And Lord, I'm so thankful to be able to be called, Lord, to be able to hear that call, to know that you love me, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for the saints of God here, Lord, and for our pastor, Lord, and the preachers that you've put us under, Lord. We just thank you for the truth that you've called us to, Lord. And Father, with these requests, Lord, we just ask that you just be mindful of all these, Lord. Little baby Asher, Lord, we know that you'll be able to take care of them, Lord. We just put them up there in prayer before you, Lord God, that your perfect will be done. And the saints that maybe don't have long to live, Lord God, people tell them that they don't have long before they go on to glory, Lord. We just commit them to you, Lord God, whichever way that you decide, Lord. May you just be able to be with the family, Lord God, and just comfort with them, Lord God. May you just send your presence with them, Father, I pray. You just receive their souls, Lord, I pray. And Father, may you just be with all those that are afflicted, Lord God, all those that are sick, those that fell out of the bed, Lord God. We pray that you just go to them, Lord. It's a very serious thing after a certain age, Lord God. We just pray that you just heal them, Lord God, in their injuries. Father, may you just be with each and every one of these requests, Lord. Those that were unspoken, we just pray that your perfect will be done in each of them. Father, may you just be mindful of the service tonight, Lord God. May you just bless our brother, Lord. Just help get him out of the way, Father, that you just be able to speak with us, Lord. We didn't come to hear a man, Lord. We came to hear your word. And Father, may you just bless the congregation as well to be able to pull on that gift, Lord God. We ask that you just have your way with each and every one of us, Lord God. May your perfect will be done in this service, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brett. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering. Let's sing that song tonight, brethren. See those clouds. Brother Eric, if you could find that for us. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray the service will be a blessing to those folks as well. Amen. Good to be in the house of God, isn't it? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? Was the word of the Lord? It was wonderful, wasn't it? Amen. Jacob was quite a guy. Quite a guy. Amen. But I'm glad that the end is a lot better than the beginning. And for you and I'm glad it's that way too. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. If you don't want to miss the Lord's appearing on that morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, secure your soul's salvation and keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Oh, see those clouds. They're the ones He's coming back in from the east. When Christ returns to earth again.
In the twinkling of an eye, it will be over. But my friend, it will be too late to pray. Be sure the time is nearing, the hour of His appearing. When the bridegroom is gonna catch His waiting bride away.
Oh, see those clouds. They're the ones He's coming back in from the east. When Christ returns to earth again.
See those clouds. They're the saints
on that morning when our body change began. Yes, on that morning when our body change began,
He'll begin.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That does sound like home, doesn't it? When He catches His bride away. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that tonight. That sounds like home to me.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace. The tree is blooming there forever.
Oh, sing.
and a crown of life is waiting there for me.
Hallelujah. And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears, fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the storm. We sing of His grace and glory. The saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
They say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal river flowing by, a tree of life. Oh, no pain,
hallelujah,
no more disappointment.
Aren't you looking forward to it?
Ever come there? And Jesus Christ, my God, will be the light.
Well, that sounds
inside the city, a crystal river flowing by, a tree of life. No pain, no disappointments will ever come there. And Jesus Christ, our God, will be.
Sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. There'll be no tears, fill our eyes again.
The hills will echo with the great love story as we sing of His grace and glory.
Saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory.
The saints of God will be.
That sounds like
praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We don't have a special per se, but Brother Harry can always give us a good special. And he talks to me like I'm a dog when after church is over for making him sing so much. But he's a great singer. I like to hear him sing. Amen. Well, if he wants to talk about me and talk to me like a dog, you just go ahead, buddy. But you sing right now. And I'd love to hear you sing, "The Dove Leads the Lamb." Would you like to hear that? Let's, and we'll help you even. Okay. Give him a hand as he gets ready to sing.
I don't have enough voice to do it. Like I said, I'd rather sound like a frog for Jesus than like, I don't know who, for the devil. I say it again one more time. Thank God for the light of this message. I'm so glad to be identified with the truth. They can call us crazy or cults or whatever. One day we'll be gone.
The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect are feeling the stir inside their heart. 'Cause our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. The fine linen clean and white is granted to her. She's been washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not our own, we stand just before His throne, where we will reign with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light is come. The bride is making. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. Fine linen, clean and white, was granted to her. She's been washed in the blood of God's own Son. With righteousness not our own, we're just before His throne.
How many's glad to be a part of it tonight? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We've heard the shout of the King. Shout of the King's in the camp tonight. Satan can't stay where the shout of the King is. Praise be to God. Amen. Well, I feel like I have some church now. I'd like to just incite a riot in this building tonight, wouldn't you? Incite a riot against hell. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want to go to the book of Romans chapter 8 this evening. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. So thankful for the grace of God to allow us to come again to His house and just looking for what He's got to say this weekend to us. Amen. Romans chapter 8, I want to look at verse 29. We'll read down to verse 33. I changed my text three times today. Because everything I read went with it. So I just had to just narrow it down best we can, and we'll just try to move through this as quickly as we can this evening. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. How many believes that? You can't be predestinated unless he foreknew you. And he foreknew you because you was a part of him. And then if he predestinated, you've been predestinated to this, to be conformed to the image of his son. We're going to be that new race. Amen. Super race. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. My. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul is asking a question. If God is on our side, tell me what can stop us? Because he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because it's God that justifies. I want to take from verse 33 this subject this evening, the bride's justification. The bride's justification. Let's just bow our hearts and ask him to help us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just sense that you're here among us tonight. Lord, it just feels so good to be in your presence once again. And Lord, for these next few moments, we're asking that you would come, Lord, and may you anoint the word to our hearts. Lord, you see what you've laid on our hearts this weekend, Lord. You know our needs. You know us, Lord. You remember, Lord, that we're yet just dust. Help us, Lord, as we stand tonight, Lord, that we could just lay our lives before you, lay our hearts before you. And you could take your word, Lord, and come to every heart and every need and meet each one. So we surrender to you tonight, Father. May you just help us now as we look into your word, Lord. Break the bread to us. Make it real. We want it more than just letter. We want it more than just reading the book. Lord, we want it to come alive to us. May it come alive, Lord. May it be animated to our hearts in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You can be seated for a few moments this evening. What I'd like to do is just kind of read a statement from the message to get our minds going a certain direction tonight if we can. Brother Ram is just talking about what had happened in Eden, and he's talking about conferences in Eden. And Brother Brown makes this statement, and he said, I want to start from this Eden conference. That's when God made man in his image and took from his side a rib and made a woman a helpmate for him. And he placed him there in the Garden of Eden, his beloved children. And when his children begot lost, that shocking news struck heaven. And your children's lost. And God brushed aside everything that was in heaven. Glory to God. He wouldn't send an angel to hunt them up. He wouldn't send a legion of angels. God come himself to hunt his lost child. Glory to God. Because there was a state of emergency. And what a beautiful picture. When somebody that don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, how that God was manifested in the flesh of Jesus Christ, he come to this earth. Not to trust in the hand of an angel or some church authority. Glory. But he came himself. Made flesh and dwelt among us to hunt out his lost child. There, when no doubt that Michael might have stepped up in Gabriel, when the message come into heaven and said, your children's in loss and they've sinned and gone away. God didn't take Gabriel and say, go down and hunt my children. He came himself. It was a man-sized job. It was a God-sized job. Glory. That's the reason I believe in this day when we're living, when we try to make Jesus a prophet, he was more than a prophet. He was God manifested in the flesh. The divine son of the living God. He was more than just a seer or a good man. He was God manifested in the flesh. God came down to redeem man by himself just like he did in the Garden of Eden. Oh, bless that name of the Lord. That's love. God so loved the world, he made himself a body to dwell in, a tabernacle here with us to save us. No wonder people's gone insane trying to explain the love of God. That last verse, I believe it was that famous, precious song. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure. And then Brother Ram quotes this from this song, from where they had found these words. These words from this verse that this man had added to his song was found inside of an insane institution. And how that they, when they was dragging the body out of this unknown writer, that they found these words on the wall of an insane institution. If we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Or could scroll that contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That last verse, Brother Ram said, pinned on the wall, that insane institution. No mind could ever fathom the love of God that he has for his people. When his son was lost, he wanted to hunt him himself. I love that. He said a mother will die through a fire to get her baby when it's in danger. A dad would jump from a 50-story building to grab his baby, anything to give his life. And that's what God thinks about his people. His church, his children, when they're lost, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, it's a shocking state of emergency. Suppose first ever came to heaven when he heard this children was lost. He came frantically. Up and down through the garden he went, looking under every bush. Adam, my son, where art thou? I want you to notice God himself come running into the garden, asking his son, where art thou? Frantically running through the garden. Brother said, looking under every bush. And to me, what a picture of the story of grace and mercy and love. To think about how that God himself being omnipresent and him being omniscient, being all-knowing God. Think about that tonight. An all-knowing God running through the garden asking Adam, where are you? A God that knows the beginning from the end, asking his son, where are you? A God that knows everything. Every time a flea would bat its eye in Egypt, God knows about it. But he's asking Adam, where are you? It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. God knew exactly where Adam was. But God was giving his children an opportunity to accept grace. He was giving his children an opportunity to accept his mercy. Hallelujah. And brother, let me just say this. He's done that for every one of us tonight. He knows the beginning from the end, but God has given us a space to repent, to know him. And let me tell you, that same God has changed you tonight. He's changed you from a sinner to a saint. He's took you from unbelief and he set your feet in a way that's prosperous unto man and a supernatural gospel. Amen. And here a God of love, a God of mercy, a God he's not just a God of mercy. He's a just God. And he's a God of forgiveness. When I think of how that God didn't put the responsibility on an angel somewhere. He didn't put the responsibility on a church. But he took the responsibility purpose within his own self. He took it within his own heart. Amen. He didn't leave his children to wander around the garden in marred. He didn't leave his children to run around eating in a sinful state. He didn't leave them in their condition. And I want to tell you, he hasn't left you in your condition. They broke his word. They disobeyed the word. And God knew they was guilty. They know they was guilty. But God was moved with love. God was moved with compassion. And he moved Gabriel aside. And he moved Wormwood aside. And God came down himself. That just does something to me when God would shove angels aside. To come down to get a hold of you. To get his lost children that he so loves. Brother, that ought to do something for every one of us. Because let me tell you, that's exactly where every one of us in this building is at. We was there in that garden by a long marred in sin. We was lost and we was undone. Let me tell you, we was all guilty tonight. But he loved us with a love that can't be explained. He loved us and he can write it as no one else could write it. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. But have everlasting life. Brother, God so loved us, he come down to where they was at. And I want to tell you, he come looking for you. He didn't give up on us in our sins. He didn't give up on us in our unworthiness that we all was. Let me tell you, we had a mountain of sin that was around us. But your sin did not deter your God. Your sin did not, listen, the filthiness of our lives did not deter God from coming and getting us. He just kept calling for you. Adam, where art thou? David, where art thou? Terry, where art thou? God came down himself. Can you imagine his children? They was hiding from him. And the reason why they was hiding is because Brother Branham said they felt the guilt that come behind that sin. The first time ever there was guilt been implied because of a mistake that had been made. That old deceiver. That old liar. Amen, somebody. He started making them feel guilty for what they had done. And I want to tell you, his tactics ain't changed tonight. Amen. Satan will use that same tactic on you as he used in the beginning. He'll make you feel so guilty. He'll make you feel so low. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Until you feel so unworthy and so ashamed that you are undeserving of this grace. You're undeserving of this blood. You're undeserving of this God. But let me tell you, God thought more about you than that. He loved you with a love that can't be pinned. He loved you and mine. He came and took your iniquities and your sins and he removed them as far as the east is from the west. I say tonight, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. God didn't come hunting for you because you was worthy. He didn't come looking for you because you was worthy. He come looking for you in your black state, in your sin of darkness that you was in. Even though you was unworthy, God still come looking for you. He come and rescued you out of your pit that you was in because he loved you. And I'm going to tell you, he still loves you tonight. Since man fell, I hope you can take that much grace tonight. Since man fell, God put reconciliation. He put fellowship on the basis of blood. But I preached a message called Fellowship by Blood. It's because God was going to require something to bring man back into fellowship with him, and how that God would not fellowship with man outside of having an atonement, outside of having a blood to speak on your behalf, speaking better things. Amen. Oh my, I remember in the Garden of Eden, whenever before the fall, Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with God without no blood. Without no blood. They was on speaking terms with him. Without no blood. But because of the fall, it separated them from God. And now, God would never allow fellowship again to come without some kind of a substitute of an atonement, a blood bearing in between them so they can have real fellowship with God. Even so much when it come to Abraham. Brother Ram tells us that God had made a covenant with Abraham. But when he makes this covenant, he doesn't make the covenant upon the basis of how good Abraham is. Hallelujah. He doesn't base it upon how well that Abraham can keep the words. But remember, he said he made this covenant without conditions. And God looked upon the earth. He tried to find a prophet that could keep his word, and he couldn't find one. He tried to find a man that could keep his word, and he couldn't find one. He couldn't find nobody that could keep his word. So Brother Ram said when God looked around, when he could swear by no greater, he swore by his own self. Because God knowed he was the only one that could keep his word. Hallelujah. Oh, how that Brother M teaches us that the Old Testament covenant is they would take that lamb and they would tear the lamb in two. And how that when the covenant would be made, they would walk in between the pieces of that covenant, showing how that that covenant was made. They would walk in between the pieces of that torn lamb. There, their feet would walk over blood. And it was a covenant made by blood. And Abraham tells us how that God had put Abraham to sleep in Jehovah Jireh. He said Abraham went to sleep, and when he did, I want you to watch the routine of this. The first thing he saw was a horrible darkness. That represents death to every one of Adam's race. And after the darkness went a smoking furnace. Every sinner deserves to go to hell. Death in hell. And then the next he saw was a white light. Blessed be the name of the Lord for that little white light. And that little light went up through these sacrifices. It went right in between each one of those clave sacrifices. Writing or making a covenant showing that through these sacrifices that he would save Adam's race. Notice God was making his covenant unconditional to Adam. And then Abraham says, see the eternal, everlasting God. He himself walked between these split sacrifices. And angel didn't walk in between these sacrifices. A cherubim didn't walk between these sacrifices. But it was a God-sized job. Hallelujah. And God himself come down and walked between the sacrifices. He said, oh my, back and forth between each one. This is how I'm going to do it. Abraham, I want you to watch me. What I'm going to do, I'm making a covenant, glory, and I'll take an oath according to the seed. I'll raise up an intercessor. I'll make a covenant with death. I'll condemn death in the flesh because I myself will come and take it. And Abraham said through, and he said, take it. Abraham said, through your seed, Abraham, through your seed, you'll be the father of the world, but through your seed, and not only you, but do I make this promise with you, but your seed, that's after you. Brother, I'm telling you, God come down and made you and I a promise through Abraham that there would be an intercessor, hallelujah, to be able to stand between my sins and your sins. God has promised us an intercessor. Hallelujah. He's given us something that we can rely upon, a covenant that can't be broke, a word that cannot fail. Hallelujah. He said, I trusted Adam and he broke his. He said, everyone breaks theirs, but I'll make this with myself. And I'll swear by myself, I'll keep it. And then Brother Ram says, amen. 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 Notice, he was speaking of Calvary. God provided you and I a blood cell. To cover every one of us in this building. God accepted a cure for a life tainted by sin. He accepted a blood cell. The penalty of sin was death. But God, that day at Calvary, he tore our lamb apart. I said he tore our lamb apart. And the sin question of that old accuser came up before God. And that blood of our intercessor was the answer to every sin question. Every question the devil would have, every accusation that would ever be, that blood presented a barrier between you and your sins. I'll tell you, Jesus wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a good prophet. He was more than a prophet. He was God manifest in the flesh. God didn't send an angel down to be your sacrifice. He didn't send a cherubim or a zoo. He come down himself. Wrapped himself in a blood cell. And that blood cell would be the atonement, the perpetuation for every unbeliever. Amen. I'm told in the Old Testament that when they would take their sacrifice to the tabernacle in the wilderness, how that they, when they would take that sacrifice and they would give that sacrifice to the high priest, how that when the high priest would make his way in there, taking and sprinkling the blood, hallelujah, every step the blood is sprinkled, and he goes in there and he offers that atonement for their sins, only to cover their sins. I'm told that when the high priest would come out, how the worshiper would know that their sacrifice had been accepted. It's because they would be the pillar of fire hanging over that high priest's right shoulder. When that light showed up, that means your sacrifice had been accepted. I said when the light shows up, if you can ever get the pillar of fire to show up. Come on, somebody. When the light shows up, that means your sins, they're not just covered, they're annihilated. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, that's the way people know their sacrifices has been accepted. It's because Brother Abraham said, remember, when Abraham's day, he said that light would show up. That light would show up. Yes, he saw fire. Yes, he saw a furnace. But he also saw a light. I said he saw a light. Oh, brother, I said when the pillar of fire comes on the scene, it's a sign to Abraham and to his seed that I have kept my word. That light would be a vindication that man is back in fellowship with God. When you see the pillar of fire show up, it's a sign to Abraham and to his seed. Hallelujah. It's a sign, it's a vindication to Abraham and his seed that your sacrifice has been accepted by God. He's given you ability to have fellowship by redemption. Well, Abraham tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, this little light, what is that light? What was that white light? That pillar of fire that went before the children of Israel, that pillar of fire that met Paul on the road to Damascus, that pillar of fire that took Peter out of prison, that pillar of fire that's here tonight. Brother, let me take it from 1957 and let me put it in September of 2014. That pillar of fire is in this building. He has tabernacled and wrapped himself in another body. Hallelujah. And it's not this body. It's not a created blood cell. It's a redeemed blood cell. Hallelujah. He has wrapped himself in a redeemed body. Glory. Because God created a blood cell, He can come in another blood cell and have fellowship with you because of life. Come on. Brother, I want you to think where we are tonight. That pillar of fire that came in 1950 in the Houston Coliseum. That pillar of fire was nobody less than the angel of the covenant. That same angel that went between Abraham's sacrifice, it came present in our day. I said he come down and had his picture taken. Some people want to know, well, why in the world you got that picture up of that man with that light over his head? I don't got that picture up because of the man. I got that picture up because my daddy's in that picture. I am the seed of Abraham. I come from that light. I came from God. And I'm going back to God. That's my daddy and my brother in that picture. My brother's represented by that light. Don't you forget, one man can represent a whole group in a vision. I'm going to say it again. One man can represent a whole group in a vision. You remember when David went out to fight Goliath and he stood up on that hill and he took that sling with that rock in his hand and he slew Goliath on the mountain that day. You realize all of Israel prevailed because of what one man done. I said all of Israel was identified because of what one man done. Every Israelite son of God that was on the mountain that day, even though they sat in their foxholes, even though they sat there scared to death, because David won, all of Israel prevailed. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm telling you, the first crop, the first seed that come to maturity was represented in that picture. I'm quoting your message to you. The first one that come to maturity, the first one that proved he was wheat, was standing in that picture. And the light come down over that bride body. Brother Branham is a part of the bride. Why don't we try to make Brother Branham different than the bride? Brother Branham's part of this end time bride. He had his place. He done his job. But you've got your place. You've got your job that you must do. These guys around our message want to separate Brother Branham from bride. Brother Branham is bride. He's the first one to come to maturity. And they would take that plant, they would pick it up and begin to wave it over the rest of the field to let you know this is what you're coming to. This is what you've got in store. If you can just believe, this is for every son of Abraham. We might as well just go ahead and preach. Everything had been waiting on this day. I'm told in the scripture, everything has been groaning and been waiting for the manifestation of the sons, plural, sons of God. Come on, somebody. Not just any person, but sons of God. Not just any people, elected, predestinated, chosen, called. Hallelujah. Sons that has come to their position. Sons that recognize who they are. Sons who have come to their place that God has called them to. Because let me tell you, that's what this blood of Christ has done for every one of us. It has brought us to our position. It has brought us to our calling. It's brought us to our place. Everything's been waiting on this moment. All nature's been waiting on this moment. All animal life has been waiting on this moment. I want to tell you, even nature itself, the trees are groaning. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you are born in this age by purpose. You're here tonight by design. You didn't just come into this message because your daddy believed it. Let me tell you, there's people in between you and your family that has quit this message years ago, but you're still here tonight. Hallelujah. You may have went out for a season, but you're here tonight. Why are you here? You're here by purpose. Oh, I tell you, there's something about this message of Eliezer, this message of our God that has so caught our attention. He can't get away from it, brother. He can't run far enough to get away from it. He can't get far enough away from it not to affect you. This message has got our attention tonight. Hallelujah. I'm born in this age for a purpose. I'm here tonight by purpose. It's not coincidence. I'm called to preach this message. I'm anointed to preach this message. You're anointed to believe this message. You are all anointed to become this message. Oh, but I want to warn you tonight, church. That old accuser will make you feel so low. He'll make you feel so down and so insecure. And I want to tell you, he'll take every ounce of hope that you got away from you. How many knows what I'm talking about? He'll make you feel so unworthy until you ain't got no hope no more. And you don't know what to do. You find yourself about to ready just to commit suicide. You don't even know where you're going to turn. I'll tell you, who's responsible for that? That's that old accuser. The accuser that comes before your life and gets you looking at every mistake you make, every fault that you have. He'll keep you looking at everything you've done wrong. He'll make you feel so guilty and so shame from your past. God will never bring that up before you. God will never hold that against you. If you're feeling that way, it's because the devil's done that to you. God will never hold your past against you. It's not just for him to do so. It's unlike his character to be that way. If something's held up against you, it's because that accuser's doing it. Amen, somebody. If we ain't careful, we look past the white light and we see our mistakes. We look past the pillar of fire and we see our past. Amen. Every shortcoming you ever done. And let me tell you what that is. That's nothing less than that spirit of Balaam that comes among us. I said that's the spirit of Balaam that comes among us. You remember what I'm talking about? It's when Israel was on their journey, that old false prophet come among them. I'm going to say it again. When you get in the middle of your journey, false prophets are going to arise. And the old accuser is going to use them. Remember, Brother Brown tells us in the message of time of decision, he said, but Moab went and called this bishop out and said, now come here a minute. Come here just a minute. You got to go down there and curse them. So they got up on top of the hill and he showed him the worst part of Israel. Come on, spiritual Israel. Again, pilgrimage church age. Look at this old hypocrite. Oh, we could just run on with it. See, look at this old King Balak, the head of all of it. He told this here false prophet, said, go down there and just look at the back parts of them. Again, he says, what Balaam failed to see. What your accuser failed to see, Israel. What Balaam failed to see was that smitten rock, that brass serpent, and the shout of the king in the camp. Hallelujah! Satan failed to see that God had come down with a shout among them. He come down with a brass serpent. He come to let them know your sins has already been judged. Hallelujah! He failed to hear the king was shouting among them. I failed to see that identification of God among them. Oh, Brother Ram again said there was a pillar of fire. There was the pillar of fire. There was the pillar of fire, that supernatural light hanging over them. And there was a great healing in their camp. A supernatural God showing supernatural signs. And they were staying exactly with the word of promise that God gave Abraham back in the time that both of them nations started. There was a sound. There was a sound of a cry, moan. I'm giving up. I can't go no more. I ain't sure if this message is right. Do I need a pastor or do I not need a pastor? Should I stay home and listen to tapes or should I go to church? There was a sound of the shout of the voice of the king down there with Israel. The atonement was in effect. The brass serpent, a smitten rock, and God was with them. Not an angel. God was with them. identifying himself in a supernatural light, healing their sickness and diseases. They went on. The characteristics proved that he was there, staying in line with the word for that age, for the age that they were living in. God's characteristics identified himself with Moses and the characteristics of God. Notice the pillar of fire, the atonement in action. Not just an atonement, but an atonement that is in action. Not a dead blood shell. Not the sacrifice of a lamb from days gone by. But this atonement was going to be atonement in action. Yes, he was going to die. Yes, he was going to go to hell. But he was going to come back to life. He was going to come into action, become an intercessor to walk in between, a sacrifice for you and I. Hallelujah! The atonement was in action, brother. I don't just have an atonement of yesterday. I don't just have an atonement of last week or last year. But my atonement is in action tonight. If I should make a mistake, I have an intercessor, amen, a high priest that can intercede on my behalf. I don't run around worried about if I'm going to make a mistake. Lord, I hope I don't make a mistake. Lord, I don't make a mistake. I don't have to worry about that. Because I'm not living by law. I'm not living under the law. I'm living under grace. Too many people's living by law besides grace. Well, I hope I can do this right. I hope I can live this right. I hope I can put... Listen, friend, you can't do it to begin with. You never have been able to. You can't keep the word. I can't keep the word. But you get a Holy Ghost born again experience and anchored down inside your soul. God will keep his own word when he can swear by no greater. He swore by himself. For they've all got in you. Well, I'm starting about Monday morning at 7. I've been out of the house twice, and one of them was the preach. And I'm just about to blow up. The pillar of fire, the atonement in action. The atonement in action. I woke up Tuesday morning and that word was in my mind. We got an atonement that is in action. Brother, I can walk free. I can walk happy. I can walk in the blessings of God because I got an atonement that ain't dead. I got an atonement that ain't 2,000 years ago. He's right here in the month of September. He's right here present tonight to intercede on your behalf. The pillar of fire, the atonement in action, the supernatural, the smitten rock, brass serpent, speaking of healing. And then again, they were also in the line of duty of the promise of God. When you walk in the promise of God and when you got a smitten rock, when you got the brass serpent on the pole, which means judgment already passed. Listen, friends, don't let your Balaam start looking back at your life. Don't let your Balaam start looking back at your past. Don't let him see the bad parts of your life. Listen, let that original son that's inside of you, that new man, let him keep his eyes on the word tonight. Get them old Balaam eyes off your mistakes. Get your Balaam eyes off of your past. Get your Balaam eyes off of things you do wrong. Keep your eyes upon the word. Remember, it's what the word says about you. It ain't how you feel. It ain't what you did. It's what your atonement is doing. It's in action. Hallelujah. This old flesh of this Balaam, he likes to look at everything that goes wrong. He likes to look and he starts remembering. Remember, you're finite. You can be forgiven of your past, but you can't forget it. Amen, church. So Balaam goes to digging in things that you do wrong. He goes to digging the mistakes that you made yesterday and the mistakes that you made last week and tell you, you ain't got no right to lift your hand when you come to the house of God tonight. You ain't got no right to sing. Who do you think you are anyway? You low down, no good for nothing. I'll tell you, you failed to see the smitten rock, Balaam. You failed to see the pillar of fire among us. You failed to hear. All you got to do is open up your ears, Balaam. You'll hear the shout of the king in this camp. That means the king himself has a tabernacle himself within you. And he is in you shouting among us. He's shouting among us tonight. I say he's within me. I say with everything here, he's in me. For the Bible tells us the Lord himself descended with a shout. But David, I don't like shouting. Well, Lord, descend with a shout. Does that bother you? He has descended in this hour with a shout. What is the shout? It's the message. What is the message? It's the word. What is the word? It's the blood. We are washed in the bleeding, bloody word of the Son of Man. Brother, you realize when you are walking in this message, you are walking under the living atonement. Hallelujah. This word ain't dead. This word didn't die in 1965. This word didn't die in 1964. It is a living atonement. Burn tells us the things are to be. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. You have to be a perfect to get there. Get your eyes off who you are, Balaam, now. Because when I say perfect, people just freak out. You know why we feel that way? Because old Balaam likes to look at that old flesh. That old flesh raises up. It knows every attitude, every wrong saying. Amen, somebody. But I ain't happen to be looking at my flesh to get me in. I'm looking at a perpetuation by atonement that was made 2,000 years ago, that resurrected after 3 days and is alive tonight, a living in action atonement. Be you perfect, therefore even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a perfect kingdom. It must be a perfect people come, because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God. You must be a perfect bride. How can you do it through anything else but a perfect word of God? All the waters of separation that washes us from our sins. Amen. That's right. The blood of Jesus Christ. Think of it. It's the dripping bloody word. Amen. The blood of the word of God, bleeding blood to wash the bride in. He has took in his blood, he's washed away every stain, every molecule of unbelief, every molecule of doubt. His blood has washed away your sins, and now you stand perfect. She stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place. She was trapped into this. Don't you see he is referring to Eve, and he's letting the second Eve know you was trapped into this. So the blood of this word restores me back to my original identity. Those who he has called, he has justified. Come on, somebody. This word, this shout of the king has been calling us back to the original atonement. Wait a minute, Brother David. Wait a minute. What about my sins? What about my iniquities? What about the things that I've done wrong? I am so glad you asked me that question. God hiding himself in simplicity. When confessed, sin is confessed. It's been dipped into a man or woman. It's been dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ. It kills all symptoms. Glory to God. Every molecule of sin goes back to the devil and is laid upon him till the day of judgment, where his eternal destination will be thrown into a lake of fire and the chasm and the bridge, and never come into remembrance no more. A man stands just justified as a son of God. Can you handle it tonight? If I got a red spot on my hand and I covered over with white, the red spot's still there. It's just covered. But it's still there. But God sent down from heaven. He didn't send an angel. Come on, somebody. He didn't send Michael. He didn't send Wormwood. He sent a blood down. He said, God sent down from heaven a bleach for sin. It was the blood of his own son that when our confessed sin drops into God's bleach, try to find it again. Tell that old Balaam, tell that old accuser, try to find my sin again. Try to find it, because when you confess it, God puts it in the sea of his forgiveness, and God himself can't remember it no more. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, God doesn't remember it. When you drop ink into bleach, it literally takes it back, because the Clorox overpowers the ink. Oh, Jesus, help me. I said it overpowers it. It annihilates it. It breaks it down to its lowest particles that it is. Until finally it completely annihilates every trace of ink. Every stain of ink is completely gone when it's dropped in that bleach of that blood of Jesus Christ. It was the blood of his own son. When our confessed sin drops into God's bleach, try to find it again. The color of sin goes back down through the mediators, down through time, until it hits that accuser. Satan. And he lays it on him until the day of judgment. So when sin becomes confessed, no matter how bad it was, how ugly it was. Hey, listen, some people was drunks, but there was a bleach. Some was prostitutes, there was a bleach. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about a bleach that can take a drunk and make a preacher out of him. I'm talking about a bleach that can take a prostitute and make a daughter of God out of her. I'm talking about a bleach that can take a drug addict that's hung up on drugs and make a son of the living God out of him. What was it? Listen, that's just your own Balaam that keeps looking at your past. Look to what the Savior said. He said there is no more remembrance of it. Hallelujah! Try to find the hymn. The color goes back and Satan lays on him until the day of judgment. So the bleach has such a power, it takes away every accusation of this accuser. I'm talking about things you was guilty of. He don't have to make stuff up. We was guilty. Come on, somebody. He ain't got to make up stuff on me. I was guilty. I want to be the first one to tell you, I needed this bleach. You needed this bleach. Every one of us needed this bleach. He takes that sin. Listen now, it's not that God is taking your sins and just covering your sins up. You see what the enemy tries to get you to believe? And we say, well, I'm covered by the blood, covered by the blood. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go a little further in that song. They ain't nothing to cover no more. I said, there ain't nothing to cover no more. Because when you drop the ink in the bleach, it annihilates it. It ain't covered by the blood, brother. It ain't even there no more. Because God put in the sea his forgiveness. That atonement in action doesn't have to cover it. He completely annihilates it. And then old Slewfoot is going to pay for everything he made me do. I said that old accuser is going to pay for every lie he made me tell. Every wrong thought that comes through my mind. Satan is going to burn in hell for every mistake I made. Every shortcoming, that devil is going to burn in hell for it. And then Paul says, what shall we say to these things? I'm closing and let me ask you. Can I ask you? You've heard the sermon tonight. What shall we say to these things? Hey, it's good to leave it in Paul's day. It's good to leave it back there with the Ephesians and the Romans and the Corinthians. But what shall we say to these things? I say as Paul did, if God be for us, brother, if God be for us, tell me who can be against us tonight when we got a living atonement in action to stand for every unbelief. Glory to God! Now I want to give warning to the devil tonight. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because it's God that justifies. The word justified means to be freed. Hang on to your false teeth. To be righteous. I ain't talking about your righteousness. I'm talking about his righteousness. He's a justified to render righteous or such as he ought to be. I may not be, but I'm getting counted that I am.
more than I is. Because I may not be there as far as today looking at my flesh, but when you look at my soul, it has made it across that chasm. It is standing there in the presence of God. My soul never sinned. My soul never sinned. It doesn't have one stain on it. It doesn't have one mark against it. My soul stands perfectly in the sight of God as though I never done it. Hallelujah. To render one righteous or such as he ought to be, to show, exhibit evidence. One, to be righteous, such as he is or wishes himself to be considered. So when you look at my mistakes, it's my wish that you would consider the blood in my stead. It means to declare or pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. Who is going to pronounce this? Who's going to pronounce it? There can't be an announcement unless God sent a voice. How many knows where I'm going? Invisible union. He can't announce it unless he's got a voice. This could not have been announced in the days of Paul. Come on, somebody. Because that book has been held. That book has been sealed for 6,000 years. Come on, somebody. That book of redemption has been sealed. It was sealed in Paul's day. It was sealed in Columbus' day. It was sealed in Martin's day. It was sealed in Luther and Wesley and the Pentecost. It was sealed. But brother, it ain't sealed tonight. I said it ain't sealed tonight. An angel didn't unseal it. Listen, an angel didn't undo it. But God come down himself. I seen another mighty angel descend from heaven, glow with a cloud. Amen. God himself come down. Hallelujah, somebody. God himself descended in this hour. And when he descended with a shout. Come on, somebody. He descended with a message. What's that message? He said, I come to tell you, little bride, my Thanksgiving message to you is, you never done it in the first place. We have had a voice come in this hour that has declared us righteous in the sight of God. We are as we ought to be. We are justified in his sight. What shall you say to these things? What shall you say to these things? What should Happy Valley say to these things? Satan took every document, every paper, every mark of sin, and he come down to God's courtroom. And he took and he scattered your past all over that prosecutor's table. He had law books of hell stacked up that high. In walks the accused, the bride of Jesus Christ. Already in the courtroom is the judge, which is God himself. In walks your attorney, which is God himself. The audience stands because here comes the jury. And every juror member is God himself. God himself. Juror number 3, God himself. Juror number 4, God himself. Juror number 6, God himself. Juror number 7, come on somebody. Paul, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, every juror of every age walked into the courtroom that day as God's representative. Hallelujah! But you talk about a fixed case. If the judge is for me, and the jury's for me, and the attorney of the defense is for me, but this is a fixed case. I said this is a fixed, hallelujah! This is a fixed case! Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? What devil, what accuser, what can be held against you? Our attorney stands up. I'm quitting. I'm just having fun now. Our attorney stands up. Says, Judge, there's been some new evidence come up in this trial. And the defense attorney says, I have haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. What do you got? And your attorney says, I want you to do another blood test on them. I want you to run a DNA test on my client over here. Brother, I want to tell you, we're not washed by the blood of a goat. We're not washed by the blood of a calf. We have been washed by a blood cell that has created, that was there in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Listen, we're not saved by man's blood. We're saved by the blood of God tonight. Glory to God. Because when the accused fell down at that old altar, and they got hooked over into the IV of Calvary. Oh, Lord, just keep out on giving it. Amen. Calvary began to pump a blood transfusion through every son and daughter of God. But I want to tell you, I have had a blood transfusion tonight. And when you do the DNA on my blood, the DNA of my blood matches my attorney. And the DNA of my blood matches every juror. It matches the judge himself. So if you want to hold me accountable, you've got to hold the attorney accountable. You've got to hold the jury accountable. And you've got to hold the judge accountable. And it ain't 99.99 out of 100 million, no. It's perfect. And I hear Brother Bram say, if Satan, that accuser, wants to get to you, he's got to go through the same process you did. He's got to go down and get a blood transfusion at Calvary. He's got to get justified, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. And then he wouldn't be an accuser no more. He'd be standing right beside you as your brother. What a blood. What a blood. After 6,000 years, amen. We come to the end of the word. And John was weeping because the accuser had him dead in the rights. And when John turned to see the judge, the lion, he saw the lamb dripping with blood. The blood on his hands has bought that book. And he takes and he rips the seals off of that book. And then he opens that book. In that book is the mysteries that God held in the back parts of his mind from the foundation of the world. I want to tell you, there's names in that book. Brother M said, John looked into that book and John must have seen John. I say Terry's got to see Terry. Jim Babb's got to see Jim Babb. Brother Rob, you've got to see. I have got to see myself in that book. And when John saw it, John began to scream and holler because John knew he could never be held liable for his past because his name's on that lamb's book. Listen, friends. I know we want to come together and say, brother, we're forgiven. My revelations went a step further than that. Because when you talk about forgiveness, you're implying guilt. How many knows that's true? You did it. You're implying guilt. I'm not guilty. I'm justified. I said I'm justified. Justification after the seals mean you never done it. But remember where he said, you never done it in the first place. Where was the first place? In the mind of God. When you was a germ seed, part of that logos in the beginning, you was never guilty of it. Before there was a blemish of sin, you was a perfect son of God. Before there was unbelief, you was a perfect son of God. When, Brother David, when God would send the shout of the King among us, you're standing tonight completely justified as though you never done it. What shall we say to these things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then Paul said, it's God that justifies. In other words, the only person that could accuse you is the one standing behind you. The only person that had a right to accuse you was God. Come on, somebody. Because he come down in perfection, never made a fault, never made a mistake. But he took your mistakes, your sins, your iniquities. He took them to hell for you. And when he took them to hell, he left them in hell. We have such a good, oh my, we have such good memories. We pull them up out of that sea of forgiveness. Let me tell you, God doesn't see it. Remember that girl was standing in the prayer line. And I think she was the second or third person there, and her friend was fixing to go before the prophet. Her friend stood up there, and Brother Brown began to discern her, so I could see you did this, you did that, you did this. And the friend standing behind her went, oh no, I've been smoking cigarettes. If I get in front of that prophet, he's going to call it out. If they calls it out, my parents is here, they're going to hear it. She stood before that prophet, and the prophet never seen those cigarettes. It's because while she was in that line, she confessed that sin before God. And when it came into the presence of the prophet can't see what God put in the sea of his forgiveness. Brother, what you forgiven, prophets can't pull it up. Bishops can't pull it up. The devil can't pull it up. Because when God puts in the sea his forgiveness, it's never to be held against you no more. Hallelujah. The bride's justified tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Let our musicians come tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And at the end of the book says, and they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And I said the king's got a shout among us. And by the word, the confession of their testimony. My confession tonight before this congregation of God is I've never done it in the first place. Well, Brother David, I know this and I know that, I know this. But wait a minute. What's God know tonight? What does he see? Balaam, get your old Balaam flesh eyes off of all your mistakes. Shortcomings. Yeah, you got them. We all got them. But I'm not looking how perfect I am. You realize when a worshiper in the Old Testament would bring his sacrifice up to the altar. You know why he done that? Because he knowed he was guilty. I said he knowed he was guilty. He needed something. That's the reason he brought it. But I want to tell you, my sacrifice died, but he come back to life. And there's a living a propitiation for every one of us. Our atonement is in action tonight. Brother, until you leave here, it's going to be in action. I know there's a lot of people try to tell us, mercy's over, brother. Mercy's over. It ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't over because man says it's over. There's been men trying to preach that for years, but I'm glad they've never been able to prove that to me. Because mercy ain't got nothing to do with what man says. It has to do with what God says. If I believe mercy's over, I'd never preach another sermon. There ain't no need in getting on the field no more. I'd cancel my trip to India at the end of this month. Ain't no sense trying to find lost seeds. But brother, I believe there's still mercy tonight. A living atonement. Amen. Praise God. Oh, brother, here, let's sing this song. It reaches to the highest mountain. You love him tonight with all your heart. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the blood. I said it reaches to the highest. If you witness what that blood can do, won't you tell him? Oh, and it flows to the low, to the lowest valley. Yes, I said the blood. Oh, lift your hands and tell him. Just love him with all my heart tonight. Oh, I want hell to hear this tonight. Oh, I said it reaches. You believe it does? No matter how low you was, how much of a sinner you was, he reached down to where you was at. Oh, I know it. My God, it flows to the lowest valley. Tonight. Oh, I said it will end. One more. Jesus. Yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. What will He do? He'll break every chain. Let's just lift our hands now to Him and wave Him in the presence of God. Yes, He'll break every chain. I said break every. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the blood of Jesus. I know there's power in the blood. Oh, God, He'd just love to hear you sing it. Oh, yes, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Oh, yes. It'll break every chain. Break every... Oh, I want to let the enemy know one more time. There's power in the blood. Oh, yes. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's power. Oh, Lord, we love You tonight. We love You with all our hearts, Father. Yes, there's power. He's broken every chain. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before we go tonight, could we sing that song, if it's your heart's desire, I want to be ready. Brother, more than anything, better make sure you're ready. What do I got to do? You got to stand perfect for God. You got to confess your sins, repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Not you might be filled, but there's a promise. If you go to the water, He'll meet you at the top of the water, and He'll fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what I believe tonight. There's power in it. Amen. God help us to be ready. God bless you tonight. Appreciate the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Realize. Well, I want to be ready. I said that I want to be ready too. Oh, yes, I want to be ready. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Yes, I'm going to be ready. Oh, I said that smallest bride. She's going to go with Him, brother. When I hear Him call my name, I say that I'm going to be ready. Oh, yes, Lord. Make us ready tonight. For the Bible says the bride has made herself ready. Lord, I say that I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be, Lord.
Just when yes. The rapture will take place.
Hallelujah.
But it does not matter.
Now, if you're washed in the blood,
if I'm
walking
in His grace.
Oh, sing it to Him now. I said that I. right here. Now we're the bride. We're living in the last days. And we've got a message sent from the King. Well, I've got to hold on just a little bit longer. He's going to come and take us all the way. Amen. Sing it now. Yes, I'm
gonna be ready.
God bless you. Dismiss the name of the Lord.
I'm gonna be ready to go. Come.